Third John. Little John over by Revelation. Go to the end of the Bible, turn left, and you'll find Third John. Just one little scripture out of this. This is a simple letter that John wrote to a friend of his. And just a little greeting and a blessing. And part of, he just says something real simple in here that we've recognized as a principle of God and a good desire to have for others and even for ourselves. So we kind of open this up and go through the doorway into a spiritual truth. Right. But 3 John verse 2 says this, says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers," or even as your soul prospers, or according to your soul prospering. Another translation says, "In proportion to your soul prospering," right, "that you prosper and be in health." And so the prosper side would include money, but it would include everything, really, that you're prospering in life. You're having good days at work. You know, you're succeeding at what you attempt. Prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul, or just as your soul prospers. So we said a few things last week about your health being reliant upon your soul. Your health being reliant upon this internal thing called your soul, which is kind of a hard word to pinpoint sometimes. Really, the soul is the mind and the will and the emotions. It's the inner side of you, the inner man, the inward man. The Bible uses a bunch of different terms. It calls the inside of us our soul, calls it our mind inside of, calls it our heart, the inner man, the inward man. It's something inside of us. We know technically we're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. But then where's the heart? The Bible talks about the heart a lot. Well, the heart, the mind, and the soul are all, if you look at the definition in the Strong's Concordance or in a dictionary, it's very similar terminology. It's the seat of the thoughts, the intents, the desires, the attitudes, the things of the heart, the things of the inside of us. And so according to the inside of you is how you'll be healthy and prosperous. If you're not healthy and if you're not prosperous, you might want to look into getting the inside of you healthy. And last week we did the three top things to keep your spirit healthy or to keep your soul healthy. But keep that in mind. That's what it's all about, is having a healthy soul. Healthy soul. Open to Psalm 131 here. Psalm 131. Listen to these quick definitions. The soul is the word psyche. Okay, the Greek word for soul is psyche. It's the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, aversions. It's our heart and our soul, it says. The mind is similar. It's understanding those things of feeling, judging, determining, thoughts, feelings, purposes, desires. The word heart is the word cardia. It's the center of us, the seat of the soul and mind, the seat of the passions, thoughts, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors. So I don't want to get too dictionary-ish on you, even though I already did. We're talking about the inside of us that is a spiritual side of us, okay? Jesus said you can't live by bread alone, but by every word. The only way to stay healthy is by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So all of a sudden, we're feeding our soul. Jesus, the bread of life, is to be fed on, received into our soul. The Bible speaks of the renewing of the mind. It talks about the washing of the water by the word. And so there's all these aspects of, we get saved by a simple belief and confession, and then we need to fix our brain. We need to change the inside of us. We need to put some attention to God's word, for it's quicker, living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder or splitting in two of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God, it separates spirit from soul, mind and personality and attitude from spirit. But that mind and attitude needs to conform. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So this whole aspect of, we need the Bible to get inside of us and fix our soul, renew our mind, heal us on the inside so that the outside can start living a good life, so that we can have the right atmosphere on the inside first. So this is very important that we recognize this is one of the reasons why we put so much attention to God's word. Right. Why so much teaching and preaching, Pastor? Well, it's certainly not just to give me something to do in life. It's not to just fill up time and say we did something for God. No, there's a reason for it.
That's right.
It's God's way of transforming your life into His life. It's His way to exchange Himself for yourself. It's His way of getting the world out of you and putting the kingdom in you. It has to do with this word of God going in and flushing you out all the time, standing you on your feet, rewiring your brain to function properly. And so we're talking about a healthy soul, man. When you meet somebody with a healthy soul, you kind of know it. It's like, I don't know what it is about you, but man, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Somebody that just has a smile, somebody that just has a decent attitude, 99.5% of the time.
Amen.
We'll let you slip up 0.05. Wait, that'd be 0.5. 0.5. 99.95. 0.05, you can slip up and be a little groggy and a little grumbly. We'll give you one day a year to be a little grumbly. But let's look at the word here, and we're going to go through a couple things to make sure that we're succeeding and prosperous on the outside, healthy on the outside, but we're going to put a little effort in here on the inside of us. Last time we talked about, and I got four things. Of course, you could probably have 24, but I have four things. First was to trust in God. Learn how to trust in God. To be prosperous, you're going to have to learn how to trust in God. He's your source. He's the provider of everything. You have to be real close to that truth. Then you're going to have some honesty about your life. You got to be real honest. Between you and the Word of God, be real honest. Between you and your heart, be honest. Between you and God, be honest in all your business dealings and in the way that you approach life. And then the third one is you're going to have to learn how to delight in God. And the fourth one is going to be a surprise. No, the fourth one is, we're going to get to that tonight, generosity. You're going to have this a soul that is so free that it's freed from itself. You won't even know freedom until you get freed from yourself. And that's why some people in prison, in jail, get saved and they are freer than people outside. Because there is no greater freedom than getting freed from yourself. Getting freed from your money, freed from all of your old way of thinking, freed from the world, freed from the devil. Did I say freed from yourself? Freed from yourself. Freed from yourself. Freed from selfish thoughts, selfish ways, selfish ambitions, self-centeredness. Glory to God. Okay, now I said to go to Psalm 131. When we start talking about the soul, this is where faith comes alive. If you can fix the soul, your faith will start coming alive. I did a message a long time ago, said the quiet soul is strong in faith. If your soul can be quiet, you have potential to be strong in faith. We say it this way, those who are strong in faith aren't frantic in their mind. If you find yourself frantic or stressed or in chaos or fear in your mind, then you're not going to be in faith. You just won't be. Panic doesn't find itself having much faith. You have to learn how to quiet the soul. You're going to have to detach from the stresses of life if you're going to have faith. This is why you need daily time with God, daily time by yourself with the Holy Spirit to make a connection with God in the quiet moment. Prayer time with God is not, okay, help me, God, today. Wait a second. Wait, could you pause for 60 seconds? Maybe He would say something. Maybe just still your mind. Maybe don't be so in charge of everything in your day and your life and in the ways of your approach and your vision for life. How about just chill out for a moment? A good soul, a healthy soul can chill. Do we say that still? People say that? Chill? Chill out? Is there another word for it? Anyway, chill out is all I know. I'm from the 80s. Chill out, man. Just chill out. I wasn't born in the 80s, but I'm from the 80s. Chill out. course, people try to get fancier and fancier. Chillax, you know, that's the new one, chillax. Like, no, no, it's chill, man. Just chill. People that grew up in the 80s, we, you know, we established the ways of life, okay? So, don't we trying to add vocabulary words and stuff like that? You know, we did it. We said it. That's how it's supposed to be. I hear a lot of amens to that. I really do. I hear a lot of amens. You who grew up in the 60s, y'all are thinking, no, we set the rules. And the young generation, man, they're like, y'all old folks have no idea how life's supposed to be. We're setting everything. No, the 80s did it. But we're trying to get a healthy soul here, okay? If you get a healthy soul, we're talking about thinking about life right, thinking about God right, thinking about money right. To be prosperous, you got to think about money right. This is where most people failed. Step one, they fail because they're not thinking about money right. Therefore, they're not earning it right. They're not working right. They're not saving it right. They're not spending it right. They're not investing it right. They're not using it right. They don't even understand what money really is. Well, I don't need much money. You're not thinking about money right. Well, you know, God knows I really don't need much, just enough. Oh, no. God needs you to have more so you can give more. He needs you to earn more so you can give more. So it's a mentality about money.
Right.
Well, you know, I inherited a lot of money. I don't really need much money. No, you're missing the whole thing. Yeah. It's not about money. It's not about whether or not you have money. It's about what good thing can you do with your life.
Right.
To produce something, to help somebody, to maybe make some money and give some extra, to build the kingdom or build a life or help a poor person. Money is a tool, and you have to learn these things. You have to relearn these things because most of us grew up just hoping we had enough next month.
Right.
Most of us grew up in a family that just didn't quite have enough, and it was always a stress on bills day. Bills week was scary, and the cupboards were, you know, hopefully going to be filled, and hopefully we have a little extra to go to the movie or go to the restaurant. It was never having enough, and that mentality just overtakes us. And then you learn that, wait a second, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I'm his son. Maybe there's a chance for a different type of a life.
That's right.
That the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Wait a second. Does that mean money? Does he mean money? Is there any way that he means money in that? Can I have enough money in this life and then some? And you start learning that the Bible says yes to that, that he delights in the prosperity of his servant. He wants to see you succeed. He's planning on you succeeding.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And then you have to make some decisions in your own soul of how you're going to change your thinking. Even though the bank account still looks the same, how are you going to think differently? You're going to have to change on the inside before the bank account changes.
That's right.
Well, if I had any extra, boy, I'd start being different. No, you got to change the inside of you because your prosperity depends on the inside of you getting this truth
that's
first.
True.
And so the poverty mentality is we can do a whole couple messages on it, but the poverty mentality has robbed people. Just that mentality of your old life and your old upbringing that you never broke free from. You got to break free from it. And you got to learn how to raise your kids without a poverty mentality. Like, here's something you should set as a rule between you and your spouse. We're never going to say in this household that we don't have enough money for something.
Right. Amen.
Because if God meets all your needs and you just make requests to God, you can have all the things.
Right.
So you're never going to say that we don't have enough money. Maybe it's not something you really should desire right now. Can we go buy a mansion tomorrow? We don't have enough money. You probably don't, but you don't need to say that. Address the real question. We're not really looking for a mansion right now, okay? So if we ever want a mansion, we'll get one. Well, I want a boat. Well, you know, we don't really have time for a boat right now because we go to church on Sundays. It's not that we don't have money for a boat. I just don't want to spend my money on a boat, right?
That's good, Pastor.
During our building project, somebody sold a boat to give to the building fund. It's like, yeah, that's good purpose for your money. Now, you can have a boat too, but you can only use it on Saturdays. But your soul, see, your soul has to think of money properly, think of life properly. What is your purpose in this life? We could just take it this far. People want to start a business. Why do people want to start their, I want to be my own boss, I want to own my own business. God, what business can I create that'll make me rich? First of all, sit down because you're thinking wrong already. Getting rich is not why you start a business.
Amen.
I said, getting rich is not why you start your own business. And this is where many people miss the first step in prosperity. Their goal is to be wealthy, and that is the wrong goal. It's the cart before the horse, and it ruins your soul. All the best billionaires, millionaires, those who made it, sure, money was there. They knew that they were going to earn some money, but they put a passion into something. Amen. Whether it was Bill Gates, he just wanted to make a program in a computer. He just wanted to play and tittle with something until it was cool. Warren Buffett, he just wanted to, he had an expertise in investing in companies, and he just wanted to use that. Think of all these, that's way out of our league, I get it. Whatever business you think you might be wanting to create, you better have some passion about that product. We got a tire shop owner, he has passion in that.
That's right.
He's serious about that.
Right.
He's expecting to get paid. Sure, he's expecting the business to grow, but he's just putting his heart into that business
right. Because
people need tires.
People need tires.
So you have to have purpose behind whatever product. It's
right. What's
the product for? It's so that I can have my tires.
Amen.
It's so that people can have tires. Sounds simple, but it's the way of God. It's to do something healthy and productive for humanity, for people, not just your four, but all people that you could provide a service or a product to. Anyway. Psalm 131, I wanted to get to this. Psalm 131, verse 2. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child, my soul within me. Interesting scripture, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What he means is, I've disconnected from my soul. I've disconnected from my soul being frantic, worried, stressful. I don't need anxiety medication. I've disconnected from my soul. Like a weaned child, it's still with me, but it's weaned from me. It's not running my life. It's not yanking me around.
There you go.
Your soul cannot yank you around. You cannot not be able to sleep.
Amen.
Your soul should be at rest all the time. You should have a soul that can handle pressure with a smile on its face. Even at work, even a high stress job, you don't have to be the stressed one.
Amen.
People may not like you as much, but you ought to be able to walk in chilled. Still getting your job done, still being on time, still doing things well, but with a soul that's disconnected from running your spirit. You'll find you have more faith like this. Remember that, there's another scripture that says, his heart is, the righteous man, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He'll not be afraid of evil tidings. Evil tidings come your way, bad news comes your way. What is your soul going to do? They brought bad news to Jesus. Lazarus is sick. Let's go. We got to go. No, he just stayed in the same place 3 days. Lazarus is dead. If you can just believe, you'll see the glory of God. Just chill. When you know God's with you, when you know things will be okay, you're going to have the money for the bills at the end of the week. So it's a soul that just is confident in God. Changes everything when you can trust God's word. I got word on this. I got a word on it, man. God said, I got a word on this. I'm not going to stress out about my kids, about my parents. I'm not going to stress out about money. I'm not going to stress out about, you know, my future. I'm not going to stress out about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't even worry about tomorrow. And we got the whole, half the churches are worried about everything today and tomorrow. Half the churches are worried about everything in the whole wide world. Stressed out about the whole wide world every day. Vexed with the unrighteous deeds of the whole wide world. How can you have peace like that? Well, I'm not vexed enough. Let me turn on the news channel. There's too much quiet in this house. Let's have some news. How can you maintain any sort of quietness in your soul? Remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the what kind of waters?
Still waters.
Still waters. We're not, sheep don't like agitated waters. Sheep want to have a nice, cool, easy place. If you'll stick close to the Lord, he'll lead you beside the still waters. Make you lie down in green pastures. No, gotta mow the yard, gotta mow the yard. No, just lie down. I don't think that applies. I'm just saying. There's a quietness. When our soul gets healthy, there's a quietness. Right? There's something that just, we're sustained. We're content. We're content. We're still working hard. We're still doing our job. But we're content. We're okay. Not everything doesn't have to move us. Every problem doesn't have to alarm us and alert us. And oh no, the sky's falling. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's get back to a place where we know we have enough. Like, do you have enough money? Yes. Are you going to have enough money next month? Yes. Even if you're a salesman, are you going to have any sales next month? Yes. Are you sure about that? Yes. How do you know that? Are you worried about that? Are you worried for your family's sake? I'm just worried for my family's sake. No. Stop worrying for them too. Learn how to trust God with even your kids, even your family. Amen. I know Brother Paul, you know, that's how he used to get all his contract jobs. He'd just smile and just go over through life. Well, God just gives me a job one after the other. I don't even have to advertise or nothing. Amen. That's a good way to live, man. Amen. That's the right way to act. That's the right heart. I got a heavenly father. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 says, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God's. Wow, so everything is God's. Looks like everything is God's. Looks like everything is Christ's. Looks like everything is mine. What? He even added, look, it says all things are yours. So are all things yours?
Yes.
This is why Jesus could use the donkey. People are worried about why did he just steal the donkey? He just stole the donkey. Told his disciples, go steal the donkey. No, he didn't say steal the donkey. He just knew the donkey was available. Or it was a colt. All things are yours. Whatever you need, we have. That's why he could tell Peter, okay, we need some tax money, go fishing. If you need to pay tax, if you need some tax money, what do? Go to work. He didn't just grow money off of a tree. He made Peter go do what he could do, earn some money, catch the fish. There's the money out of the fish. Well, we're going to skip taking the fish to market to sell. Just get the money right out of the fish. We'll do it supernaturally this time. But he still made Peter work for it. But notice it says all things are yours.
Right.
Whatever you need is yours.
Amen.
You need mortgage money? Okay. You need to buy something for the house? Okay. You need to fix the car? You need a new car?
Amen.
It's all yours. You can have it. Don't be worrying about when to buy the next car or how much you don't have for the next car. You'll have the money for the next car when you need the next car. You got to live this way. It takes all the pressure off of you. All things are yours. He goes so far to say, even Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, Peter, are yours. The preachers belong to you. The apostles and preachers and teachers, even today, belong to you. You belong to one another.
Amen.
You're mine, buddy. Whatever I need, you're mine. Whatever you need, I'm yours. All are ours.
Glory.
I mean, he goes on, or the world, or life, or death, all things present, or things to come, it's all ours. We inherit all things. And anything we need now, we can have. And this is why you get this spirit in you and this attitude in you. It makes it easy to share, makes it easy to distribute, makes it easy to give to one another, makes it easy to help somebody in need. It's a new way to live. Mm-hmm. Growing, prosperity is not about you growing your pile.
Amen. Come on.
It's okay to have a pile. You need to have a pile that's growing, but it's not just growing. It's growing and giving and 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 growing. And it's a usable pile.
Right. That's good. Not hoarding it.
And if you'll be a real giver, you'll recognize that my pile ain't ever going to hit the ceiling because I can't stand it getting that tall. I got to give it to somebody. Praise the Lord. All right. Y'all are doing well. You're listening right on right speed and everything. We're in Psalms. I'll go back to Psalms. Psalm 37. Inside you, we've said this before, that you're not really even in faith until you get happy.
Right.
The desperate worrying and trying and all of that, for faith, for people that know the Lord, you're not even in faith until you can go further than that. Now, an unsaved person doesn't have the potential that we have. An unsaved person is desperate to get saved, needs to get saved. An unsaved person desperate to get healed or delivered, just come with all your desperation. You don't even have to smile. Just come with all of your heart to God and he'll set you free. But once you get saved, we have potential of the kingdom on the inside of us.
Amen.
Which is righteousness, peace, and joy. And all of a sudden now, there's a different requirement on it. See, the lady with the issue of blood, she didn't have to get happy. She couldn't get happy. She wasn't even born again. She just had to be desperate. And sometimes we, even Christians, need to be just desperate, go to God and get fixed.
Right.
But as you mature in the Lord and as you walk by faith and live by faith, you have to recognize that faith is a happy camper. Yeah. Somebody that really believes in God is actually pretty happy. Yeah. Even if there's a need, I'm still happy because I'm headed to him right now. In 30 minutes, I got to be at work, but right now I'm headed to my Heavenly Father. He's going to give me everything I need because I'm going to ask believing.
Right.
And so it just takes the pressure off. Whatever that pressure might be in your life, a healthy soul will just be happier. So you're not even in faith until you get happy, until you can smile, until you can praise God after you pray. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Doesn't have to be a full smile, just pretty good smile. Sad people, depressed people don't get many miracles in their life. The happy people that flow with the Holy Spirit and enjoy the joy of God, somehow they just seem to get more miracles in their life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You get strength by being joyful. You get joyful by tapping into the Holy Spirit, reading your Bible, keeping your spirit healthy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right.
Not the prayer, oh God, just give me strength.
Yeah.
You need some joy. How are we going to get some joy in you? We're going to have to drag you to church. We're going to have to get you to come sit with By Lane. If you're a woman. Don't get any ideas, you men. You know, that's not what it's about around here. You're going to have to get some people to rub off on you. You're going to have to turn. How about coming to church a little bit more? How about praying in the Holy Spirit? How about maybe reading your Bible just a little extra? Maybe 2 pages a day. Just 2 pages a day make you happy. So anyway, so this is part of the process. Psalm 37, verse 1. Don't fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Don't look at Hollywood and get all mad at them. Well, look at all, I don't know why, I don't know. Or sport, I don't know why. Look at it, we're paying these sports people all this money, and then the other people, like bus drivers and teachers, you know, they're not getting anything. That's called the business system of this earth. It's the way things are. People pay for what they really want. Don't get mad at the system. Get mad at the people. No, don't get mad at anybody. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. It's the things we value we don't mind giving money to. The other problem is that people aren't valuing. I mean, the problem is people aren't valuing education enough. And that the state has that. Anything state-run is never going to be properly valued. But that's a whole nother non-pulpit time message. Even though we've given a little pulpit time so you understand capitalism versus socialism. Anyway, that's another deal. Okay. Verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord. We have to learn how to delight ourselves in the Lord. Not in things going well. Not in once everything gets ironed out. Delight yourself in the Lord. Not delight yourself in the money. And this is where some people went wrong, that they were thinking they would be more delighted in life if they had the money. That means they're putting their delight on the money. People with money can be too delighted in it and love it. People without money can be too delighted in it and love it. Matter of fact, people without money love it sometimes more than people that have it. You're yearning for it, striving for it, caring about it, thinking about it, wanting it, desperately needing it. Just pining away for more. If I just had some more money, if we just had some more money, oh, just that's the love of money. And it's a killer. Just like a rich person who has no need of God. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? What does delight yourself in the Lord mean? It means something. It means you better start getting happy with God.
That's right.
Oh, I love God. He knows I love him. You better be happy with God, God's word, God's people, God's church system in America, which is Sunday mornings or Saturday nights and maybe another service or three during the week. Be happy with God's stuff, scriptures.
Right.
God's word, God's spirit. Be happy with praying in the Holy Spirit. Be happy with seeing a miracle every other week or 10. Be happy for somebody else that got saved. Be happy. Delight yourself in the Lord. Jesus said all these things that we all need, food and clothes and all that, he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. We know that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things come if you can get your priorities straight. Amen. If you start seeking the things, all of a sudden you're going to miss God and you won't have the things. Or the things will take up everything and weigh you down so much you sink. Oh, but no, but I gotta, but I gotta. No, you don't gotta. You gotta seek first the kingdom. Get real happy about the kingdom of God. Uh-huh. Maybe learn a little, maybe be excited about learning just one more thing. You don't have to learn everything. You don't have to be as smart as everybody else in the church. You don't have to win the trivia contest. Oh, I wasn't picking on Keisha, but I could. You don't have to be the smartest, but you need to like it. You need to like the things of God. You need to learn how to delight in His Word. David said that many times in Psalm 119 even. He said, I delight in thy law. I love your word. Can you say that? Anybody that's saved ought to be able to say it. Anybody spirit-filled should certainly be able to say, I love your word, God. It is my delight all the day. Seven times a day, I praise you for your righteous judgments. I wake up at midnight so that I can praise you for your commandments. Thanks for commanding me, God. I just love it.
Praise God. Yeah.
We should all be able to delight in being told what to do by a coach or a teacher. Or God Himself. Be happy. There's safety when you just obey the command. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't fret because of the wicked people out there doing dumb, wicked things. Unfortunately, your authority, even though we have some authority in this land or in our world, you're not going to be able to fix the wicked people. You're just not going to be able to fix the wicked people. Don't fret over it. There's just too much fretting because of evil people prospering. And then I start fretting over the fretters. So I have to not fret over the people fretting because of all the wickedness. It's like, church, quit fretting, stop fretting, and then I'm fretting. I mean, you got half the preachers are fretting over the church for some of them. The church, stop fretting over the church. There's a lot of good church.
Amen.
So stop acting like the whole church needs to be fretted over.
Come on.
Some of the church is doing well. Some of the church is serious about Jesus, loves the Lord, and is doing all they can. Most churches are probably doing it that way. They're not all perfect. And if they're not all perfect, Jesus can write them a letter. When the Lord's not happy with the church, He'll inform the pastor somehow. And if the pastor's even half his worth, he'll listen. He'll make some changes. He's trying his best. Let's just trust everybody's trying their best. Love believes all things. Let's just believe that all the churches are doing the best they can with what they have and what they know. And then I'll write them a letter next week. Tell them what. No, just kidding. I remember Psalm 1 says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers. He doesn't hang out with sinners, doesn't hang out with scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. There's a delight in God's word that real Christians are supposed to have. Well, I don't have it. I feel so backslidden. You probably are. So what you do.
I just feel so backslidden.
Yeah, you probably are. Okay, so here's what you do. Read the Bible. Read 3 pages of the Bible every day for 7 days. This is how you get unbackslidden. Look, we're not going to beat you up because you're backslidden. We know half of you are backslidden. No, I'm just kidding. We know Christians have the potential to slide backwards. So here's what you do to fix yourself. You read some pages of the Bible every day for a while. Make yourself do it. But on the 8th day, you'll probably want to do it. Once you build a habit, you don't want to break the habit. You've already put in 7 days worth. It's kind of like a diet. If you could just get through 7 days of a diet, you don't want to break the diet because you put in all that hard work. It's kind of like when we fast together, or we fast, period. You know, you're fasting and you're fasting and you're fasting. You don't want to break the fast because you put in some time and you really don't want to mess up. That's how you get unbackslidden. Read some pages of the Bible, pray a little bit extra, and you'll find yourself delighting again.
Hallelujah.
And you can't beat yourself up and cripple yourself. Otherwise, you'll never get back up. You'll never get back. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. So you got to be happy doing God's will. It should make you happy. Jesus said, my food. Remember that? He said, my food. They're like, where are you going to eat? We don't have any food. We don't have enough food. How are you going to get some food? Jesus, you hungry? You hungry? Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. You should be satisfied in your soul just by obeying God. In a big thing, a little thing, a daily thing, a consistent thing, a weekly thing. Just your soul should be so happy that you read 3 pages of the Bible. It really is happy. It's like, wow, you know, it was fun to spend time with God. Your soul should just be happy doing the will of God. God, I was gonna tell them off, and I knew I just backed off and I gave them lots of mercy. That should make you feel real good in your soul. Should feed your soul. And then you could add in all sorts of things. Okay, turn with me to Matthew 6. We're going to go here. This will be our final point, and it concerns money mostly, but also it could be anything. But in this particular passage, there's an interesting way that the Lord said it, and it's a colloquialism. It's a Hebrew idiom that's used that's a little blind to us if we don't catch this, all right? Here's what he said, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and material things. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. So this is how he begins the necessity chapter. Verse 21, go back to verse 21, for where your treasure is, there is your heart. So he is talking about material things. He's talking about money. Mammon is either money or material things or both, or it's the spirit of the world or all three. But notice this term, if your eye is bad, your whole body's full of darkness. If your eye is good, now the King James says, if your eye is single or evil. If your eye is single and good or bad and evil, that's the terminology. Now what is it referring to? People have tried to interpret this, and there's a couple different ways you could probably say it, like if your focus is singular on the Lord, if your consecration is steadfast, okay, your whole body's full of light. But if you've got double vision, double motives, double allegiances in your life, then your whole body's going to be messed up. Your whole life's going to be messed up. So, but technically, what he's referring to here, and it's a colloquialism, it's a Hebrew idiom, it's used actually still in the Middle East parts, that if your eye is single, it means if your eye is generous. A single eye or a good eye, why would I have to say it like that? It means generous. It's the way you look at people. If you're generous toward people, then your whole body's full of light. But if you're stingy, your whole body's full of darkness. I heard somebody say this one time, that they had been in Africa and they saw a billboard that said, have a single eye toward the United Way. And I heard that and I thought, wow, that makes so much sense now. And then I was in Africa and I saw the same, a similar billboard. I'm like, I see it too. Have a single eye toward the United Way and donate money. Be generous toward the United Way. Your whole body being full of light, your soul being full of light, partly depends on you being generous. And if you're not free to distribute and happy to give and help people or help God or whatever you do with your money in a generous way, your spiritual life's going to suffer. I hear a couple whispers in here and that's it. Most of you are thinking, prove this. Can you possibly prove this? Yes, go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs is over there by Psalms. It's actually after Psalms. Do you ever wonder? Like you just go to the middle of the Bible because you know it's somewhere in there. But Proverbs is after Psalms, the way that I always remembered is because the Proverbs is the preaching, Psalms is the singing. And in church, we always sing before we preach. So Psalms comes before Proverbs. Okay. You got to find some way to remember these things. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor." See, here's this whole eye business again. Why does he have to use that? I don't know. It's just the way they said it. Generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Go to chapter 28. Verse 22, Proverbs 28, verse 22. "A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him." So here you got the evil eye. He's just a miser, greedy, covetous. Covetous is a killer. You know, covetous is listed in there with a murder, adultery, drunkenness, covetousness. Those are evil things. To be greedy for money, or we can say be stingy with money, is just as bad in the same category as murder. You know, everybody has, in your mind, you think of that's a terrible sin and that's a really terrible sin. And well, these that I'm doing aren't quite so bad. Like, usually everybody's worst sin in their mind is murder. Until their spouse divorces them, then adultery is the highest, worst sin on their list. Don't do that, okay? Categorically, all these things are so anti-God, so wrong, and they come from the heart. Out of the heart proceeds adulteries, fornications, covetousness. It's out of the heart. It's the grotesque part of the fallen nature of man that you're trying to avoid. You're trying to repel. You're trying to transform and get your soul renewed so you don't think these ways.
Right.
Being stingy is a world's way. It's not a child of God way. Well, you know what? I don't have a lot, so I have to be very careful. I have to hold. Well, the widow gave her last. And Jesus didn't say, "Oh, no, keep that. We're not trying to take people's money from them. We're trying to help you get free from it. You have to willingly get free. Jesus said, "Man, wonderful. You gave more than everybody else. You gave everything you had. You gave more than all the rich people." It's not about an amount. Riches are not about an amount. What you give is not about the amount. You don't sit there deciding, "Well, I think I've given enough. We gave how much? I think I've given enough." It's kind of like when you go to the restaurant and you're going to tip. Or according to the calculator, we're going to give 15. 10, 15, 10, 20, 25. Once you get free from the calculator, just give a little extra.
Amen.
It's really not even about, thank God it's breakfast. I don't have to give much. The bill's cheap. I don't have to give. Look, the server had to do the same amount of work for your breakfast as for your dinner. Why don't you give them the same amount? You could try that even in an expensive restaurant. Like, I'm not giving 20% of this bill. I'm going to give them the breakfast tip. I guess that's contrary to what I'm trying to say. Don't do the penny. The penny pinching is not right. It's not good. It's not healthy for your soul. Get a little liberal every once in a while. Even though a lot of our life is guided by the calculator. I get that. Every once in a while, just blow it out the water.
Amen.
Every once in a while, just do something out of the ordinary.
Right.
It'll help you get freed from yourself, freed from your money, and you'll be a blessing to somebody, and you'll probably sense the love of God and the glory of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did I read the rest of the scripture? Yeah. I did this one time. I've told the story, but one time I went to the car wash down the road here, and I got done, and the lady was drying my car off, and I got done, I hopped in and took off, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should have given her a little tip or something. And I kept driving and kept thinking, and I thought, you know, I wonder if I should go give her a tip, you know. And the Lord said, yep, you haven't been very generous lately. So I made a U-turn, and I went back to go give her a tip, and I got my wallet out, and I opened it up thinking, I hope there's a five in there. And there was only 100.
Glory!
And I thought, this will help me. That's what I thought. I thought, this will be good. This will help me. I gave her the 100. And she grabbed it and just went like this. I'm thinking, no, look. Can't you please look? I didn't tell her to look. I got in my car and I drove off. And I was so happy. And the Lord said, see, I told you, you've been a little stingy lately. Not withholding tithes or not giving, but just not being extra liberal, extra generous. And I felt so wonderful and so good. And I was getting my car washed because I was going to have to pick up a guest preacher who was coming for the weekend and such. And it was a good weekend. We had great ministry. And at the end of the ministry time, something happened to me to Joni and I that has never happened before in all of our, at the time, about 15 years at the church. The minister and his wife were about to leave, and he said, hey, come over here. And he started writing a check, and he wrote a check to Pastor Joni and I just personally. And he gave it was $3,500. I want you to know that no traveling preacher has ever in the history of the world given money to a pastor. No, I'm just kidding. That is, just so you know, that is not a common practice. Usually the traveling preacher is expecting some money from the pastor, from the church. And I thought, we were very excited about it. Praise God for it. I don't know if it would have happened if I hadn't have broke the ice. I don't know. Maybe it would have, but maybe not. Maybe it was timed perfectly by God to help my heart get free and to recognize it is a blessing. You might get a quick harvest off of a seed sown. You may not, but you might get a quick. At least it lets me know that, you know what? This is real stuff. The kingdom of God is real.
Right.
Not that we're trying to give so I can get, but golly,
right.
It sure opens your heart up.
Amen.
It sure keeps your soul healthy if you can be a giver.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Proverbs 21, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25, the desire of the lazy man kills him. Oh, sorry about that. For his hands refuse to labor. Verse 26, what I wanted to get to. He covets greedily all day long. Think about it. Think about it. Lazy people sitting around waiting to win the lottery.
Uh-oh.
You never get rich winning the lottery. And as you know, you'll never win the lottery. I just declared it and prophesied it for all of you. You'll never win the lottery. Quit playing the lottery. Quit wasting your money on the lottery. You'll never win that or any gambling. You'll always lose. You go to the casino, you will always lose at the casino. Always. And if you ever won at the casino, you better never go back. Because over time, you will always lose in the gambling arena.
Right.
And if you don't lose, that money will fly away anyway. Anyway, it's just not God's way. So we don't even want to go there. We don't want to play that game. Yeah, but I'll tithe. You know, I'll be able to give if I can win. Oh, no, I'll give to the kingdom of God. Well, if you accidentally win the lottery, please give to the kingdom of God. Go ahead. We'll take the tithe. But you shouldn't be playing. I've told you the story. One fellow is a new Christian, came, got saved at our church, filled with the Spirit. And he brought in $1,000 one time. He said, yep, I won $10,000 at the casino. I was like, okay, we'll bring it into the church. We'll make it holy right now. I found a brown paper sack with a bunch of money in it. Bring it to the church.
Yeah.
Proverbs 11, one more here, Proverbs 11. Oh, wait, did I read that? He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare.
Amen.
The righteous gives and does not spare. It's just it's an amazing truth of God. It's just how we're supposed to be, you know? Proverbs 11, just a couple more scriptures here. Proverbs 11, 24, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. Proverbs 11, 24. There is one, a person who scatters yet increases. Like, you keep giving, it's like I'm supposed to be decreasing, but somehow I'm increasing. That's where the kingdom of God is operating. That's where there's something supernatural about this, that God's never going to let you outgive him. So you just got to be faithful and happy about it. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. People think I'm holding on to it because I can't afford to give it, and then you get poorer and poorer, and you never get out of the hole. You never have any seed in the ground.
Right.
Your harvest field is always empty.
Right.
Or it has a couple seeds over in the corner from 10 years ago that you planted, and another two seeds over here from 5 years ago. You got a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit rather than a whole field that you've been faithful and consistent in. If you're faithful in your giving and your generosity, you will have a harvest field that never runs dry. What that means is that any point in your life when you need some money, it's in the field. Go
Amen.
Get it. Any time in your life, if you've been a faithful tither, sower, giver, you can expect that there's harvest anytime
That's right.
you need it. You may not need
That's
it all the time, but anytime you need it. Well, you certainly
Amen.
Need monthly money, so you should be able to have some of your field is for monthly money. If you have extra abnormal needs, then you have some field ready. Portion of your field or your other field is ready because you've been real faithful. I know we got harvest out there, so let's go get some harvest. We have not
Amen.
Skipped any season of sowing, so I know we're not going to have to skip any season of harvest. So you have to really believe the words of Jesus about the kingdom of God. It's as if a man should scatter seed in the ground.
Good.
Verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. So is your soul generous? Do you think this way? Listen. Look. Question yourself. Is my soul generous? Am I always trying to nail everything on the head? Like, how many Cokes do we need for the party? Well, I'm going to say we have... Okay, we're exactly the amount. No. How about an extra? We've practiced. You have to practice these things. At the church, we've always done... You know, whatever fellowship thing with food involved, it's like, how much do we need? Well, we're planning on about 300 people, but let's go ahead and plan for 350 so that we have enough extra. And when we do that, we always bring extra Ziplocs so that people can take stuff home because we're going to have so much extra, it's going to be lanyap. It's going to be, you Cajuns know what I'm talking about, right? Isn't that right? We're going to have enough and then some, just like They fed the 5,000 and there were still more in the baskets, fish and bread, than started with. Because why? Because God's abundant. He's more than enough. He's just always overflowing everything. My cup's running over. It's just, you can't, you don't want to plan on the penny pinch. You don't want to plan on the perfect. You just want to expect more. Plan for the extra, just in case.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's all true.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is true.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll end there. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, our soul just needs to get happy and healthy and practice it this Christmas.
Amen.
Practice it this Christmas. I'll give you two sides to the coin here. The first side of the coin is, if you want to give a gift to somebody, give the gift. If you don't want to give the gift, don't give the gift. If they give you the gift and you didn't get them a gift, thank them for the gift and go home. Be healthy about it. Be healthy. You don't have to play the etiquette game. Just do it from your heart. Be a healthy soul where I want to pour out, I want to bless, and I'm not going to feel guilty if I forgot to get you a card and you gave me a card. I'll just tell you right now, I ain't giving none of you a card. You can give a card if you want to. I don't do Christmas card. I ain't giving no Christmas card. I'll give you a Christmas message, but I ain't giving you no card. Like we can rise above, and we're doing things with such honesty and such grace and such peace and such rest. I don't have to play the game. Don't feel pressured to spend all your money. Don't let the season pressure you into spending your money.
Amen.
Do it from your heart or don't do it at all. Do it in faith or don't do it at all.
Thank you, Lord. That ought to help somebody.
Come on. Once you got saved, you got into a kingdom that's different than the world.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Be a blessing. Give some gifts to people that aren't expecting it. How about that?
Glory.
I remember when I came into the kingdom, I was so happy to give and bless, and I started giving these abnormal gifts to friends of mine that I had grown up with. And you know, the friends you grow up with, you don't ever give anything to. In our group, it was, we're fighting each other for who had to pay for gas and who had to drive and who had to, but when I got, I'm like, oh, I wanted to give them stuff that would bless them. And at the time, it was hunting and fishing stuff. So I was buying these things that were way out of the ordinary, that you don't even buy for yourself. And I could tell my friends didn't know how to handle it. They're like, what happened to him? Well, I got generous. I got free. I got saved. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.